brushing my lips against the shell of her ear, remembering how she used to feel. Pulling back, our eyes connected again. She licked her lips as I brushed my finger down her chin to her neck, stopping to caress her beating pulse on the side of her throat, feeling the effect she always had on me. I made my way down to her chest, breaking eye contact, and focusing on her heart that I hoped still belonged to me, caressing my fingers along it, sending shivers that shook her core. Her heart was now beating a mile a minute, nothing compared to my steady beat. She gazed up into my eyes with a glazed look in hers. They had changed from what I saw only a few seconds ago. She looked down at my lips, taking a deep breath, stepping closer to me, leaving no space between us. Her hand settled on the side of my neck, standing on the tips of her toes with her eyes still locked. She leaned in, tenderly placing her lips on mine. Our mouths moved together as if they were made for each other, our lips starving for affection. I felt like I hadn't kissed her in fucking forever. I didn't waver, picking her up by her ass, wrapping her legs around my waist. I walked us toward my bedroom, never breaking our intense kiss. As soon as I laid her down on my bed, she reached her arms up above her head, waiting for my next move. Lowering my frame on hers, I grasped her hands, caging her in with my arms. Her heartbeat drastically accelerated, and I swear it echoed through the room. Te amo, cariño. She took in my words for a few seconds, relaxing her body underneath mine. I reached for the hem of her dress, pulling it over her head, leaving her in just her panties that I proceeded to tear off her luscious ass. She watched with hooded eyes as I undressed and crawled over to her again, placing my body right where it belonged, on top of hers. I could feel her thoughts raging war in her mind. She immediately shut her eyes when she realized they were telling me everything that maybe she couldn't. Open your eyes, Sophia, I murmured so low she could barely hear me. She swallowed hard before opening them again. Her eyes were filled with unshed tears. Seeing her like this was my undoing. I couldn't take it anymore. I gripped the sides of her face. I'm so fucking sorry, baby, I breathed out against her lips. I can't change what we have been through these last few months. I can't take back everything I wish you hadn't seen. I don't ever want you to be scared of me. I would never hurt you. I would die before I could ever fucking hurt you. I kissed her lips, her cheeks, the tip of her nose, and all over her face as I slowly moved my hand down her neck. Do you understand me? You're the only light I have left in my life, my salvation. I urged, and she nodded, claiming my lips with hers, keeping her eyes wide open. I rubbed along her smooth skin, trailing my fingers over her naked body, my forehead resting on hers as I slowly moved my hand back and forth, caressing her, in a way I used to, how I knew she loved, wanting to bring back the passion between us, ignite our flame that started to burn out weeks ago. You're all I ever wanted, I exhaled as she inhaled. It was like we were breathing for one another. There is my girl, I groaned, positioning myself at her opening. I started to ease in, thinking how much I missed her sweet pussy, once again claiming what was mine. She froze, pushing me off her. I can't do this, she snapped out of nowhere, with a cold and detached voice, making me jerk back, stunned. The fuck? Was all I could manage to say. She continued to try to push me off her. I can't, Alejandro, please. I can't do this. She shoved me with her hands, scooting out from under me, leaving me wondering what the hell just happened. She grabbed her dress off the floor and threw it on, immediately rushing out of the room, getting away from me as fast as possible, ignoring my plea for her not to go. I found my slacks and quickly slid them on, not bothering with the shirt. I rushed after her, needing to stop her from walking out on me. There was no way in hell I was going to let her leave here without telling me what the fuck was going on. Stopping dead in my tracks, I saw her standing in the dining room. A look of horror spread across her face as she took in every last detail of the night we were supposed to have. The food was all laid out perfectly on the table, champagne still chilling in a bucket of ice, candles spread out all over the room, adding to the romantic allure. What the fuck was that, Sophia? She cringed, stepping away from me, surrendering her hands to stop me. I can't believe you did all this. Fuck. She grabbed onto the back of the chair in front of her for support, looking up at me through tear-filled eyes. I can't do this anymore. Can't do what, exactly? What can't you fucking do? Us! She gestured between the two of us. This? I jerked back like she had hit me. You don't mean that, I stated, stepping toward her again. Stop! I can't pretend anymore, it's too real. Your life. This life you were born to lead, it's too fucking real. I was almost raped. I thought you were my hero, my savior, when all along, you were the reason, she spewed, causing me to step back, narrowing my eyes at her with the realization of her words. I watched your mother take her last breath as she died in your arms, murdered in cold blood. I watched your sister leave the only family she has behind, running away from this life instead of embracing it. I've seen the blood on your shirts and knuckles. I've seen the guns you carry on you all the time. I'm not stupid, nor can I continue to pretend to look the other way, Alejandro. I've seen you change from the boy I once knew to a man I hardly recognize. You are slowly turning into your father, and that's a scary thing to watch. Michael was right. I don't know you at all. I know the boy I fell head over heels for as a girl, but I don't know the man who is standing right here in front of me. You're a fucking stranger. I saved your fucking life that night, so don't you dare throw that in my face. I didn't want to love you. I tried to stay away, knowing that one day you'd bring me to my knees, and here I am begging you, like a goddamn pussy, not to fucking leave like a scared little girl. You came to me, not the other way around, sweetheart. I have fucking given you everything, everything you have wanted or needed. Did you ever really love me, Sophia? Or was this a game to you? Were you dreaming of a fairy tale and reality was too much for you to handle? I guess my old man was right about you after all. Fuck you, she roared, turning to leave. I caught her by the wrist, spinning her around to face me. We are not done. No one walks out on me. Do you understand me? No one. Let go of me, she struggled to get away from me, pounding her fists on my chest. I love you, I emphasized each word, needing her to understand, needing to get through to her. I'm still the same man, cariño. I'm the man who you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with. She winced, like it physically hurt her to hear me say those words, giving up on the fight, bowing her head in shame, and letting tears stream down her perfect face. I let her go. She clutched onto the ring I placed on her finger months ago. Our future. I'm so sorry, Alejandro, she wallowed, slipping the ring off her finger. Stepping away from her, I shook my head. Don't fucking do this. She peered up at me through her tear-soaked lashes. You did this. For the first time, it was as if I was staring back at a stranger. My Sophia was gone. She wasn't the woman I loved with every last fiber of my being. She reached over to take my hand in hers, gently placing the ring in my palm and closing my fingers around it. Before releasing it, she brought my hand up to her lips and whispered, I can't. Turning her back to me, she headed for the door. I was over to her in one stride, grabbing her shoulder to turn her face to me again, pulling the hair away from her face to look deep into her eyes. I spoke with conviction. Don't you see? Don't you see that I can't live without you? That I can't breathe without you? I urged, hanging on by a thread. That I'm nothing without you. I could sense her resolve breaking, and I couldn't take it anymore. Tears slid down my face, mirroring hers. Please, I added in a voice I didn't recognize. She didn't waver. If I asked you to choose me, to choose us, would you? My heart would choose you, us, but that doesn't change the fact that I'm a Martinez. There is no getting past that. It's me. She nodded her head, slipping out of my hands. I know, which is why I would never ask you to do that. I reached for her one last time, but she swiftly moved back, shaking her head and walking to the door. It took everything I had in me not to go to her. She looked broken. I had broken her, and now there was no going back. I had to let her go. She turned, grabbing the door handle, pausing. For a second I thought she was coming back to me. For a moment, I thought our love had prevailed. That this wasn't the end of our love story. Please take care of yourself. I know it's stupid for me to say that, but I can't help it. I'll always love you. I just can't die with you. Goodbye, Alejandro, she said, as she opened the door and walked out of my life just like that. Leaving me to walk through life without her by my side, taking my whole world with her. It was then I finally understood who Alejandro Martinez was born to be. I lost everything that ever mattered to me. My mom, my sister, and now my girl. Everyone I cared for, everyone I loved, had vanished. They were all forever etched into my soul, a part of me that I would never be able to detach myself from. The truth of my life swallowed me whole. I screamed out my frustration, unleashing the rage and wrath I no longer had any control over. It pounded into me as furiously as Sophia's last words. Goodbye, Alejandro. I slowly turned around, looking at the dining room table, holding the possibility of our future in my hand. I lunged forward, clearing all the contents off the table to the floor. The sounds of glass crashing onto the hardwood was mocking me, my heart shattering the exact same way. It was everywhere and all around me. I couldn't run. I couldn't escape. I had no one. I kept moving because I knew once I stopped, I would crash and possibly never get back up again. I darted around the dining room, my feet stomping with every step, leaving a path of destruction in their wake, throwing candles, dishware, and chairs, flipping the goddamn table. I went after anything I could find, demolishing the perfect night.
I fucking hate you. I fucking hate you,
I yelled, punching the fucking mirror that I caught my reflection in, not even flinching from the pain. I repeated that mantra over and over, letting it sink into my pores and making it become a part of me, destroying everything in my path, the future I would never have. I pulled my hair back, taking in the destructive scene before me.
Jesus Christ, get yourself together, you fucking pussy, I rasped, making my way to the bar,
taking 4 swigs of whiskey from the head, not bothering with the glass, and repeating it several times until the bottle was empty, and I felt nothing but the burn through my body. I couldn't take it anymore. I grabbed another bottle, wanting to drown myself in the amber liquid. Leaning my whole body against the wall, I started sliding down, wallowing in the despair of what my life had become. I don't know how long I sat there, drinking my fucking life away, when I heard the front door open, footsteps coming my way.
Sophia,
I slurred. A part of me hoped it was somebody that was coming to put a bullet in my fucking head, putting me out of my goddamn misery.
Fuck,
I heard Leo announce, as he hovered above me, reaching for my arm.
Get up, motherfucker! Get up!
I took another swig of the bottle before he pried it out of my bloody hands.
Jesus! Are you trying to have yourself admitted to the hospital? The entire bottle is almost gone. I'm not holding your hair back if you throw up, princess.
Fuck you, I groaned, my head swaying.
Come on. You need a cold fucking shower, then you need to pass the fuck out,
he ordered, placing my arm over his shoulder as he stood me up as I rocked to stay upright.
She's gone, Leo. She's fucking gone. I know, man. I know. She called me.
Everyone is gone.
I struggled to get out as we walked toward my room.
You just keep fucking moving. Tomorrow's another day, brother.
He laid me down on my bed. I saw my dying mother in my arms. I saw my sister leaving me. I saw Sophia saying goodbye. Before I passed the fuck out, knowing I would wake up another man because the devil had won. Chapter 16. Martinez.
Alejandro,
Dad greeted as I walked into his office, not bothering to get up. He was sitting at the head of the rectangular table at the far end of the room. Antonio, a new associate from Panama that we were about to use for the first time, was sitting across from him. I spent the last week in his territory, making sure they knew we meant business and they were aware of how we handled ourselves. I didn't acknowledge him. There was something about the fucking prick that rubbed me the wrong way immediately. The last thing I needed was to babysit another incompetent asshole who thought with his dick and not his head. My plate was already full. I didn't need any more shit piling up. Although, I had to give him some credit. The man had some brass fucking balls for sitting parallel to my father. I would be lying if I said I didn't want to shake his goddamn hand for it. I'm sure my dad loved that. A power struggle at its fucking finest. I wasn't a take-charge kind of man. I was in charge. End of fucking story.
I had proved myself to my piece of shit father more and more as the months passed. I unbuttoned my suit jacket as I sat down next to my dad, making myself comfortable before heading the meeting.
I paid off everyone that needed to keep their goddamn mouths shut, and the remaining were silenced permanently, I informed, breaking the silence since I barged into the room.
Antonio, this is...
I know who he is, he interrupted my father, leaning forward on the table with his hands placed out in front of him.
Your reputation precedes you, Martinez. Quite the devil, eh?
I grinned, tapping my fingers on the table one right after the other.
I've been called worse things by better people.
He narrowed his eyes at me, cocking his head to the side, waiting. I knew what he was trying to do. I learned from an early age how to read people. Who was lying, who was pretending, who was bluffing, and who was just full of fucking shit. A person's body language always told me their story. Some of it was instinctual. Some of it was bred. Some of it was learned. Most of it was bullshit.
Your father was telling me that you're going to be taking over soon. You think you can handle it?
Handle it? I questioned, smiling. Leaning back, I reached down to grab my dick.
I'll handle it like I handle my fucking cock. Assertive.
My dad chuckled, sitting back with his arms crossed over his chest, an amused expression on his face. Antonio jerked back, clearing his throat for my brutal, honest response. Stammering,
I'm just saying, that's quite an accomplishment for someone so young.
I'm just saying, I mocked, in a condescending tone. If I wanted your fucking opinion, I'd ask for it.
I
didn't give him a chance to reply, grabbing the folder that was sitting in front of him. I went over his proposal and leaned back into my chair, flicking the documents in his direction, scoffing out.
What the fuck am I supposed to do with these? Wipe my ass with them?
That's the best I can do. We're taking a huge risk transporting that amount of cocaine into the U.S. It's going to cost you. I need to protect my men.
Huh? Did you feel that?
I sat forward.
I actually almost gave a flying fuck about your men or your risks. Do I need to remind you that you work for me? Not the other way around. You don't set the rules. I do. When I say I need something, I mean anything, including what the price per kilo will be. Then you go and fetch, doggy.
He slammed his closed fist on the table, rattling the glasses.
I am the best. How dare you?
Fury written all over his face.
That's nice. Now, be a good boy and use your inside voice.
Cocking my head to the side.
I know people who can make your life easier, or they can make it harder. I can slam my fists on tables too, like a fucking pussy. Want to see who can make it move more?
I threatened.
Now, if you could so kindly tell your goons to lower the guns that are pointing at me and my father under the table, I would really fucking appreciate it.
His eyes narrowed, giving me a smug look before nodding to his men. They retracted their weapons and placed them on the table.
Gentlemen, I declared, setting my elbows on the table with my hands in a prayer gesture, we're not here to argue. I'm simply explaining why I'm right. Either you make it happen, Antonio, or you can go suck the dick you rode in on. Your choice.
I could feel my father's pride radiating off of him, burning a hole in my side. He slapped my shoulder and laughed, adding,
and that's how he handles it, Antonio.
Antonio instantly stood, the chair scraping across the hardwood floor. Facial expressions always revealed a lot about a person. Feelings truly were a bitch to hide. Energy of any form was communicated through a person's gaze. In this line of business, it was all about looking for the signs. Nothing more, nothing less. The longer you were around someone, the more you learned about them. You never even had to know their goddamn name.
I'll have a new proposal drawn up.
He caved, exactly how I knew he would.
Great. Now, go lay down by your bowl.
I ridiculed, enjoying every fucking second of it. He stood taller, inhaling deeply. I smiled, not paying him any mind, nodding toward the door for them to get the fuck out of my face. He understood my silent order and left without so much as another word.
Well, nice to see you too, hijo.
Dad's voice boomed, bringing my attention to him.
You're welcome,
I replied, ignoring his endearment. I stood, grabbing his glass. It was tradition to have a drink together after a business meeting,
especially one that went in our favor. Turning my back to him, I made my way over to his wet bar at the other end of the room, pouring two glasses of scotch.
I'm getting old, Alejandro. Your mother's death, it's taken a toll on me. I know you will make me proud carrying on the Martinez name. You've done well, hijo. They're already calling you El Diablo, the devil. 20 years old and already fucking feared. I couldn't be more pleased to call you my son.
The mere mention of my mother made me physically cringe, knowing the truth. I took in his words, turning with her drinks in hand, before walking back over to him again. I set his drink down in front of him, taking my seat at the other side of the table, exactly where Antonio was sitting only minutes ago, causing him to narrow his eyes at me. It was the first time in all these years I ever sat parallel to him. Lifting my glass, I nodded my chin toward him, a silent toast, before downing the fiery liquid in one gulp, setting my glass down on the table with a thud. He followed suit, taking it down like it was a glass of fucking water. Did you ever really love her? I asked out of nowhere, catching him by surprise. He lowered his eyebrows, confused. I stood from my chair again, needing to get away from him. Since I found out the truth, I had distanced myself from him, spending very little time in his presence. Even sharing the air that he breathed made me fucking sick. I paced around the room, waiting for him to answer my question, knowing I would never get an honest response. That wasn't how my father was made. I stopped at his desk, running my fingers along the mahogany wood, staring at the pictures of my mother and Amari in the corner, shoved away, like the truth.
Is this where you made the call to seal my mother's fate?
I sat down in his chair, putting my feet up on his desk. He watched my every move with nothing but a guarded stare. I lit a cigar, taking a few deep puffs, blowing precise smoke rings into the thick air.
So tell me, did you murder her because she was having an affair with Roberto, or because she was pregnant with his baby? Hijo.
I glared at him.
You lost the fucking right to call me that the day you murdered my mother and had me fucking watch, not giving a fuck that Amari was there. Tell me, did it ever cross your mind that she could have been killed too? Mi familia lo es todo para mí,
he clenched out. My family is everything to me. I reached into the pocket of my suit jacket, pulling out a folded piece of paper I spent hours, even days, staring at, memorizing every last goddamn word written, the edges so worn from my bleeding grasp. I threw it at him, landing in the space between us.
I thought you didn't get an autopsy. Isn't that what you told us? That we didn't need to get one? That she was a victim of retaliation on you? On us? Or do you not remember the fucking lies you tell anymore?
He grimaced, still sitting where I left him at the table.
I would never hurt my wife, the mother of my children.
No, you just had someone else do it for you. Are we even your kids?
Get the fuck out of my office, Alejandro!
He roared, the vein on his forehead pulsating.
She loved you. She gave you everything, old man. She cheated on you because you're a miserable fuck who treated her like shit. I'm surprised it took her that long. Kinda makes me wonder if Roberto was the only one. I don't blame my mother at all. Life is full of disappointments, and you're one of them. You despise me, don't you? Is that what this is about?
You know, I probably would, if I gave you any thought at all.
You know what comes to mind when I do think about you, though? My mother dying in my arms, fighting to fucking breathe. She didn't say one goddamn word about you as she shook in my arms. You weren't even a thought in her mind in the last minutes of her life, like you didn't even exist in her world. She did whisper his name, though.
I lied, just to hurt him.
Alejandro,
he coaxed, his mouth contorting, struggling to breathe. Sweat pooled at his temples as his now bloodshot eyes protruded out. His tanned face quickly turned a reddish-blue hue, oxygen being cut off more and more. His chest heaved as he was trying to beg for help. My help. He wilted over in his chair, placing his head between his knees, clenching his chest with his right hand, gasping for air that wasn't available for the taking. I watched with fascinated eyes, not moving an inch to help the son of a bitch.
I wonder if she thought about him when she was with you.
With wide eyes, he patted his hand against his chest.
Hijo, I think... I'm having a heart attack, he stuttered.
I wonder if she ever wanted to call out his name when you were together.
You know nothing,
he drawled, gasping, having a hard time getting his words out. I didn't falter. Picturing his face when she told you she loved you, I viciously spewed.
Motherfucker, who do you think you are?
He questioned, dry heaving.
I know one thing. She probably fucking hated you. Like mother, like daughter.
Amari couldn't get away from you fast enough. Is that why you had Mom murdered? Couldn't handle that she found someone newer and younger replacing you? You miserable fuck. Picture it. Roberto balls deep in your wife, in your house, in your bed, while you were off fucking people over. I snidely chuckled.
Call 911, you ungrateful bastard! I can't! No puedo!
He whimpered, sweating profusely now.
My heart!
He grabbed his chest, trying to stand to reach the phone receiver in front of him, inching his fingers closer and closer until his body betrayed him.
So close, yet so far away.
I clapped my hands, then took another puff of my cigar, blowing smoke toward him, making him cough. His legs gave out and his body slid off the table backward, falling to the ground. His glass followed, shattering into a million pieces below him. He landed on his back, head bouncing off the floor, convulsing uncontrollably. Stuffing the cigar out in the ashtray, I sat back watching him seize on the ground and enjoying every last fucking second of it, letting him feel the spasms of his heart pumping hard through his body, his veins protruding, losing circulation, spit forming near his mouth as his back arched off the floor, choking on his own saliva. His body betraying him, like he betrayed my mother. I finally pushed off the desk, stepping toward him, each stride more determined than the last. Crouching down, close to his face, I growled,
"The dead can't talk, old man,"
throwing his own words back at him, wanting him to remember the day he set my life in motion. The day he damned me.
"Please, help me,"
he muffled so low I could barely hear him, placing his hand over his heart.
"Like you helped my mother?"
I didn't falter, gripping onto his throat, squeezing lightly, cutting off more of his air supply. His eyes widened in fear. I would remember the look on his face for the rest of my life, another memory that would forever haunt me until the day I died. I held him down, pinning him to the floor by his throat, feeling it constrict under my fingers. I wanted him to feel everything as I choked the life out of him, slowly, wanting him to feel the pain as he took his last breaths, hoping that his life was flashing before his eyes. I needed to witness him struggle like my mother did, fighting for his life. I leaned forward, getting as close as I could to his ear, staring him dead in the eyes. I spoke with conviction.
This was for my mother.
His eyes glazed over. The realization that this was my retaliation, my revenge for my mother's death, my vengeance on making it right by murdering him. His son was his demise.
Eye for eye, motherfucker.
I gripped his throat as hard as I fucking could. His body convulsed, legs, arms, shaking uncontrollably, and all over the place.
May you burn in hell,
was the last thing I gritted out before his eyes rolled to the back of his head, and he was dead. Letting go of his throat, I stood, taking him in one last time, making sure he was really gone, nudging him with my foot, rolling him over so I wouldn't have to look at his fucking face again. I didn't close his eyes or make the signs of the cross. I never wanted his goddamn soul to rest. I took a deep breath, immediately feeling a sense of peace since my mother died. I walked over to where the autopsy report laid on the floor, picking it up and placing it on his back, along with the pentobarbital that was inside of my suit jacket. Forever condemned.
Come and clean up this fucking mess. It's done, I ordered to one of my men on the phone.
And I left. El Diablo never once looking back. Chapter 17. Martinez.
We have a problem,
Esteban stated, barging into my office without knocking, forcing my attention to him. The days turned into weeks, weeks, turned into months, and 1 year bled into the next. I was 24 years old, and I was Lucifer himself, leading the way to hell. Almost a year after I took care of my father, I met Esteban at one of my strip clubs downtown. Let's just say he wasn't enjoying the entertainment. I was talking to my men when we heard a little girl scream, "Stop! Don't hurt him!" My men tried to step in and intervene, but I put my hand out in front of their chest, stopping them. I pulled out a cigarette instead, leaned against the brick wall behind my strip club and watched. Esteban was getting his ass kicked by three junkies in my alley. He was homeless at the time, rummaging through the dumpster for food, sleeping under overpasses or in alleyways. He was a scrappy little fucker, but he could handle his own, taking as much as he was giving. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a little figure cowering in the shadows. I walked toward her, picking her up and placing her in my arms. She had bright green eyes and long dark hair. She couldn't have been older than 4. "Where the hell did you come from?" I asked her.
Alexa?
She stuttered, bowing her head. I could barely understand her baby gibberish. Tears poured down her porcelain skin, terrified at the scene unfolding in front of her. Nothing a little girl should be witnessing.
"Lex, hasn't your mama told you about the monsters that lurk in the dark?"
Her eyes widened with fear.
"I'm one of those monsters," I whispered into her ear.
Esteban tried to watch the whole scene unfold, making it harder for him to defend himself. To make a long story short, my men stopped the fight. Esteban was the only one that stayed behind, worried for the little girl. I respected that. I asked him if he wanted a job, and he happily obliged. After bullshitting for a few minutes, I handed him the kid and told him to go find her fucking parents. I didn't have time to babysit. He'd been working for me ever since. I peered up at him, narrowing my eyes.
"Congratulations. Did you forget how to fucking knock?"
The blonde's head that was sucking my cock tried to look up, but I pushed her back down.
"Did I say you could stop?"
She gagged, taking my dick all the way to the back of her throat.
It didn't...
Esteban stuttered, watching her mouth stroke me up and down, my grip never moving from the back of her head. My cell phone rang with an unknown number appearing on the screen.
"I need to take this."
I don't know why you think I fucking care, Esteban. Now turn around, man the fuck up, and take care of the problem.
Alich, go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself. I need to take this call,
I ordered in a demanding tone.
Ahora!
Patience was never part of my nature, especially now.
Did I fucking stutter?
He finally nodded, turned, and left. I shoved the blonde's head away, causing her to fall on her ass with a thud.
That means you too, sweetheart.
What the fuck? She seethed.
No shit. With lips like yours, I thought you'd be a goddamn pro.
Who the fuck do you think you are talking to me like that? I'm the best.
The best to ever come out of your mouth was my cock. Now, get the fuck out.
You're an asshole.
If I wanted the comeback, I'd ask you to spit.
She stomped her way toward the door, like I gave a fuck.
Martinez.
I answered the phone as soon as she slammed the door shut behind her. Alejandro Martinez? The woman on the other end inquired.
This is him,
I responded, annoyed. I'm calling from Sibley Memorial Hospital. There's been a car accident. You're the contact in case of emergency for Michael and Amari Mitchell. We need for you to come in as soon as possible.
What? What do you mean? Where's Amari? Is she okay?
My heart sped up, beating out of my chest, panic setting in. Sir, calm down. All I can tell you over the phone is that we need you to come in. We're legally bound not to disclose any information over the phone, sir.
Please,
I begged in a voice I didn't recognize.
Where's the little girl? Daisy, their daughter. The least you could do is tell me that. Where's Daisy?
She's here, too. I'd advise you to come immediately. The nurses will inform you once you've arrived.
Ma'am, with all due respect, I need to talk to my fucking sister.
I gritted through a clenched jaw, trying not to flip the fuck out on her. Mr. Martinez, it's important that you get on the next flight out. That's all I can say. I ended the call, dialing one of my men I had watching them.
What the fuck?
Boss, he answered. It's bad. It's really fucking bad. I was just about to call you.
Are they alive?
Boss, I...
Are they fucking alive?
Daisy is. I'm sorry.
I hung up. The picture of Daisy lying on Amari's chest when she was born sat on the corner of my desk, mocking me. She was looking down at her newborn daughter adoringly, already a devoted mother. Daisy was the first and last baby I'd ever held. I hadn't seen either one of them since that day, 6 years ago. I loved Daisy instantly, which was such a foreign emotion for me. I hadn't felt love in such a long time. I didn't even think I was capable of feeling it anymore. I held her tiny frame against my chest, cradling her in my arms, rubbing her chubby baby fingers as I stared into her beautiful eyes, memorizing the feel of her soft skin and baby scent. The need to protect her was so overpowering for someone I'd only just met for the first time. A primal urge to keep her safe took over, and I would stop at nothing to keep my niece away from harm. Exactly how I would her mother. No matter what the cost. It was then I realized I didn't fit into Amari's life. Knowing I could bring danger into the lives of the only family members I had left was too much for me to bear. I stayed away to keep them safe. My feet moved on their own accord toward the wet bar in the corner of my office, downing the amber liquid without thinking twice about it. No glass needed. Bringing the bottle away from my mouth, I hurled it across the room, watching as it shattered against the wall, falling into shards on the hardwood floor. My stomach churned, and my mind reeled. My body couldn't move fast enough around the room, pushing over everything that was in my immediate sight, throwing and swinging at anything I could find, screaming at the top of my lungs over and over again until my throat burned raw and my chest heaved. Seconds, minutes, hours later, everything blended together, and I just stood there taking in the results of my destruction. My body propelled itself upward while panting and heaving, every breath harder to take than the one before. How did this fucking happen? I was supposed to protect her. Beating myself up inside. I blinked and I was sitting in my airplane, flying toward Washington, contemplating my life. I've killed. I've tortured. Innocent lives had paid the price, my price, just to prove a fucking point, to rise above everyone and everything. Even God wasn't safe for me. I was a ruthless motherfucker who didn't take no for an answer. No one crossed me and lived to tell a tale. I had no respect or loyalty to anyone but myself. Not once did I ever think about the pain I was inflicting. The consequences of my actions would be the biggest regrets of my life. Everything progressed in slow motion. Seconds turned to minutes, and minutes turned to hours. The ding to my voicemail broke the silence around me. The screen lit up as it had for the past 2 days, notifying me I had one missed call and one unheard voicemail that stuck out from all the rest. My sisters. I wasn't sure what I felt at the moment. Fear, maybe. Panic. Confusion. Remembering I hit ignore to Amari's phone call 2 days ago, always too busy to take a few minutes out of my fucked up life to talk to her. My adrenaline was racing. My body felt stiff, and my hands were shaking. I suddenly felt bile rising in my throat and fought back the urge to heave. Taking a few deep breaths, I hit the voicemail button, deleting message after message until I got to hers.
Shit. Oh, crap, Daisy. Don't repeat that.
Amari's voice filled the air.
I didn't mean to call you, stupid fat fingers hitting the wrong numbers. I was trying to reach Michael. Daisy and I are stuck on the side of the road, and it looks like it might start pouring any second now. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. It's not like you care.
Her bitter tone bit me like a snake in the night. My vision blurred, not being able to see anything in front of me. Was I crying?
It would be nice to just hear from you from time to time. You're still my brother no matter what. I love you, Alejandro. I'm still here. Maybe you need to hear it from me to remember that. Hopefully we will talk soon. Be safe.
The line went silent. The only words that registered were, I'm still here. My hand fell away from my ear, still holding the phone, not bothering to hit the end button, staring at the screen while my mind was stuck on one phrase. I'm still here. It was an endless phrase that repeated itself over and over in my head, a cycle that I couldn't stop over and over again. I'm still here. I couldn't move. I couldn't feel. I couldn't talk. I was numb. The darkness settled all around me. Memories of Amari and I came flooding into my mind, from our childhood to the day she walked out of my life, and everything in between. Little mental souvenirs of our time together.
I sat there until my body couldn't take it anymore. I sat there until I felt like there was nothing left of me. Knowing I would be nothing after this, a shell of the man I used to be, I was an abstract painting and a kaleidoscope of pain. I lived every day with constant reminders of mistakes and regrets, the things I could never change. The past. The present. The future. Then. Now. Forever. The relentless torture of love and hate. The distant memory of the boy I was, and the ruthless man I'd become. The next thing I knew, I was walking toward the morgue in the hospital to identify their bodies. My heart pounded against my chest, ringing in my ears, as they pulled back the locker that held my sister's body. Nothing could have prepared me for what I was about to see. The woman that was lying there, no longer full of life, laughter, or love. No longer full of anything. I leaned forward, kissing her forehead, expecting to feel her warmth. Instead, all I got was her freezing cold skin against my lips.
Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give you.
I whispered the Bible verse, making the sign of the cross over her body. I nodded to the coroner, unable to find the words to say this was Amari, holding back the desire to fall apart and die right along with her. I couldn't. Her baby girl needed someone, and I'd made her a promise a long time ago, a promise I intended to keep. I left the morgue without looking back. The hospital where I held Daisy as a newborn, welcoming her into the cruel world, was now the same hospital I said goodbye to her mother. My beloved sister. I walked into Daisy's hospital room, her tiny frame hooked up to several machines as she laid unconscious in her hospital bed. The beeping sound of the heart monitor and the rhythmic hissing sound of the ventilator echoed all around me, filling me with some kind of hope. She looked so small and delicate holding her favorite blanket, the one I had sent to Amari for Daisy's first birthday. I may have not kept in touch, but I never missed my niece's birthdays or holidays. I pulled up a chair beside her bed and took a seat, taking in her beautiful face that reminded me so much of Amari's, reaching for her hand. I lifted it and placed it in my grasp, my hands so big compared to hers. They swallowed them whole. I leaned over, bowing my head in shame over her broken, bruised, cut-up body.
I'm so sorry, Peralita. I didn't want this for you. I'm so fucking sorry.
I sobbed, laying my forehead on our joined hands. This would be the last time I cried for the rest of my life. The last time I would apologize to anyone. Saying goodbye to my sister was the final farewell to what was left of my heart and soul. I was now hollow inside. It was easier that way. I needed to turn off my humanity, no longer wanting to feel anything. After this, there was nothing left of me.
Part 2. Chapter 18. Lexi.
All right, little lady Lexi, this is your stop, my bus driver, Anna, called out, peering up at me through the mirror above her head.
I stood, walking down the aisle, passing all the kids I went to school with, ignoring the hateful glares I had to endure every day. I usually sat near the front of the bus, the closest seat I could find to Anna, or else the kids picked on me for one reason or another.
Thanks, Anna. See you tomorrow,
I announced as she slid the doors open to let me out.
No problem, sweetie. I'll bring some of that yogurt you love in the morning.
I smiled. I loved Anna's breakfasts. They were the best way to start the day. I often didn't get breakfast from home before I had to leave for the bus. Mom was always asleep, never bothering to get up and help me get ready for my day. I was lucky if I got lunch on most days. Stepping off the bus, I looked back at Anna one last time. She was shaking her head in disappointment, and it made my heart hurt. I didn't like it when she got sad, especially when I was the cause. I was around enough sadness. My mom wasn't there again. I was not surprised. It was rare for her to pick me up from the bus stop. I made sure to always smile wider and bigger as I stared back to show Anna I wasn't fazed by my mom's absences, trying to ease the worry I knew she felt. Anna hated that I had to walk home by myself. She said 6-year-olds are too young to be walking by themselves. It wasn't that bad, except in the summer. I got really hot and sweaty. Anna always made sure to bring me a water bottle so I wouldn't get dehydrated. Sometimes, if there were enough kids absent, she would drop me off right in front of my house. Those were my favorite days, but they were few and far between. Anna waved one last time, and I waved back, watching some of the kids stick their tongues out at me as the bus drove by, but I didn't pay them any mind. "Sticks and stones," I whispered, repeating what my stepdad always said, over and over again in my head. I never met my real dad, but my mom had shown me a few pictures of him, including the one that's framed on my nightstand. She didn't tell me much about him, but she did tell me he wasn't a nice guy, and I was better off without him. My stepdad, Phil, wasn't so bad, but he worked a lot, which made him cranky. As much as I wished he was home more because he played with me, the house was quieter when he wasn't. He yelled at my mom all the time to get out of bed, take a shower, clean up the house, and I didn't like that very much. It scared me sometimes when he was in a really bad mood. I always made sure to give my mom extra hugs and kisses after he was done making her cry. They fought a lot. I thought about my mom as I was doing my ballet walks down the sidewalk, pointing toe to heel with my feet turned out, but putting my arms out at my sides to practice my balance like my instructor showed me, humming a tune from Swan Lake as I danced my way home. I'd been a ballerina for as long as I could remember. It was my life, the only time I was truly happy, not having to worry about anything around me but the music and rhythm. My instructor said I was born to dance, picking up on new techniques without any hesitation at such a young age. I would always rush home from class to show my mom all the new moves I learned. She would lay in her bed and watch every last one with a sparkle in her eye, telling me I looked beautiful. Then she would pull me toward her, rolling me onto her bed, and we would cuddle for hours, watching movies while she played with my long hair. I slept in her bed more than I slept in my own, always scared of monsters under my bed. She understood my concern, so she let me sleep with her almost every night. My stepdad usually slept on the couch, especially over the last year or more, but I don't really remember. "Mama!" I shouted, walking into my house, shutting the door behind me. Silence. "Mama, I'm home!" I made my way toward her bedroom, down the narrow hallway, off the living room, knowing exactly where she would be. She wasn't laying in her bed, which only left one other place. "Mama!" I said again, as I opened the closet door in her room and peeked in. She was sitting in the small space at the far end of the closet, where she tucked all her junk away. She would sit on the ledge, breaking down all alone. She didn't acknowledge me, just continued to cry, staring off into space. I grabbed the stepping stool, placing it along the edge of the ledge, giving myself a boost so I could crawl to her, like I always did when I found her in here. "Hey, Mama," I whispered, wrapping my arms tight around her waist, laying my head on her tummy. "I'm home now. No more crying." She sniffled, kissing the top of my head and rubbing my arm. "I'm so sorry, Lexi. I'll come pick you up tomorrow. I lost track of time." "Okay," she wouldn't. "Maybe we can go to the park and get some ice cream. I'll make it up to you," she promised, pulling me in tighter. "Okay," we wouldn't. "I'll be better tomorrow, I promise." I looked up at her tear-stained face and nodded, wanting to believe her. My stepdad said she lost me one time, and since then, she barely left the house. I just hugged her and kissed her like I always did, wishing tomorrow would be better, knowing it wouldn't.
Martinez, what are you still doing up? You need to be sleeping, I stated in a harsher tone than I intended. Daisy's eyes widened with fear, shying away from me, immediately reminding me of her mother. Amara used to make that exact same face when our father spoke to her, with the same dominant tone. After all these years of not wanting to be anything like him, I was my own worst nightmare, my reality. I was my father. We were both one and the same. It was the price I paid for the choices I made and the life I led. El Diablo.
Daisy, or Briggs, as she called herself now, was the spitting image of my sister, except she had Michael's fair skin. During her parents' funeral, she told me she was no longer Daisy. Her new name was Briggs. I let her have it because it granted her peace. Though to me, she would always be Daisy, my sister's favorite flower. Even after 2 years of living with me, my 8-year-old niece was still fucking terrified of me. Not that I gave her a choice in the matter. It was easier for her to see me as a monster. I never wanted her to love me. I didn't deserve it. She didn't deserve it. The two women who loved me the most were both 6 feet under. There was no way in hell I would provoke fate again, which was why she had a nanny. But Esteban was responsible for her. I assigned him as her permanent bodyguard. If anything happened to her, it was his life I would take, and he knew it.
I can't sleep,
she whispered so low, I could barely hear her, tucking her tiny frame into her chest, leaning deeper into the couch as if she wished it would make her disappear.
It's late, Briggs. You have school in the morning, and I don't have time for this. Go to bed.
She bowed her head with the shame I wanted her to feel. I swallowed hard, knowing all she needed was for me to take her into my arms and tell her everything was going to be okay.
It wasn't.
I refused to lie to her, making her think it would. The nightmares she had every night were proof of that alone.
I don't want to be by myself, Uncle,
she murmured again, peering up at me with hopeful eyes. The same eyes Amari would use when she woke me up, crawling into my bed late at night. Keeping Daisy at arm's length wasn't just for her benefit, it was also for mine.
You need to get used to being by yourself. That's life, Peladita, I called her, little girl.
She nodded, holding back the tears that were threatening to surface. I reprimanded her any time she cried in my presence, telling her it was a sign of weakness. It didn't take long for the crying to stop when she was around me, scared of the consequences it might evoke. She scooted off the couch so tiny and frail, walking past me. You would think after 2 years I would have built up enough resistance from wanting to hold her, comfort her, tell her I loved her. If anything, the urge became stronger. I watched her go into her bedroom, closing the door behind her, as I made my way over to the makeshift bar. Waiting. Rubbing my forehead from the constant splitting goddamn headaches, which never seemed to go away. My doctor said it was from lack of sleep and diagnosed me as an insomniac. He prescribed sleeping pills, but I never took the fucking things. My demons wouldn't let me. I was worth more dead than alive in this world, and the second I forgot that would be my demise. I downed my glass of whiskey as I heard Daisy crying from a distance, slamming it onto the bar when it was empty. I grabbed the bottle instead. It was the same thing almost every night. Her room was the only one in the penthouse that wasn't soundproof. I needed to hear her cry. My feet moved of their own accord, my body being pulled by a string, or maybe it was my heart, drawing me closer and closer to her door, like it did every night. I stood there, leaning my forehead against the cool wood, the bottle of whiskey firmly clutched in my grasp, my other hand gripping the doorknob, fighting everything inside of me to turn it. Feeling every last ounce of her pain and distress, silently praying I could take it all away. I couldn't. The sobs came harder and harder, twisting the dagger in my heart just a little bit more. All I could imagine was a little body shaking with her blanket pulled tight under her chin, maybe pretending her mother was there, or worse, that I was. I turned around, sliding down her door like I always did, sitting with my back pressed up against it, my elbows resting on my knees out in front of me. I took another swig from the bottle, leaning my head back and listened to her cry all night long. It was my way of being there for her, even though I would never allow her to know it. There were times when she would sleep through the night, undisturbed by the nightmares that haunted the both of us. I would slip into her room and sit in the armchair by her bed, watching her sleep through the darkness until the sun started rising. I'd allow myself to kiss her forehead, letting my lips linger as I made the sign of the cross like my mother had done to me, time and time again. And then I'd leave, vanish, like I was never there to begin with. Letting her continue to think she was alone, when in reality, she always had me.
Chapter 19. Lexi. 3 years had gone by, and not much had changed. I was now 9 years old, still holding on to the hope that my mom would miraculously become an attentive mother, not lost in her own world anymore. I longed for a mother, like most of the kids at my school had, Overhearing kids in my class talk about how their moms would attend meetings, recitals, or even the simple gesture of making breakfast for them always filled me with envy. I hated that feeling. My mom never attended any of my school functions, award ceremonies, or parent-teacher nights. Most people assumed I didn't have a mother, which was really sad. She still barely left her room, or got dressed for that matter. She struggled day to day to keep pushing through the haze that clouded her mind. I wanted her. No, I needed her to be a part of my life outside of our house, to take some interest in my life, since I always took so much interest in hers, trying to push all the sadness that lived inside of her away. The recital of Swan Lake for my class was only 3 days away, and I was beyond excited. I auditioned for the lead role of the White Swan, and to my surprise, I got it. I remember that day, running into my mom's room, jumping into her bed to tell her my big news. She just smiled, pulling me in for a hug, not saying a word. I practiced all day and night, till all my steps were perfect. I wanted to make my mom proud of me. Maybe then she would come to more productions in the future. She swore she would make it to this one. She wouldn't miss it for the world. She said she couldn't wait to see me on stage. This would be the very first time she would see me dance outside of our house. My stepdad, on the other hand, never missed any of my shows, but it wasn't the same. I couldn't wait to have her there, sitting in the front row, watching all my hard work pay off. I was on my way home from my rehearsal. I could hear them from the driveway before I made my way to the front steps. They were fighting again, calling each other names. Our house was small, so it didn't take much for their shouting to echo off the walls into the night. No one came to pick me up, once again. It was a normal occurrence. I wasn't sure if they just forgot about me, or just didn't care how I made my way home. I was lucky enough to have one of the girls' moms bring me home. It was a long walk in the dark for a girl my age. I chose to believe the second one. It hurt less that way, but not by much. I went straight into my bedroom, not bothering to tell them I was home. They were too caught up in whatever argument they were having this time. I threw my bag on my bed and grabbed my ballet shoes. I scooted my dresser out of the way, transforming my room into a stage, putting on my headphones to drown out their yelling coming through the thin walls. I listened to Act 2, 14 from Swan Lake, one of my solo pieces, getting lost in the music. The intensity of the instruments vibrated through my core, translating into movements through my body, turning each step into an extension of the music, pirouetting in tight circles around the small space, gracefully stepping, leaping into the air effortlessly. The balls of my feet pounded into the floor in a quick pattern, getting ready for my big finish, feeling as if I was one with the music. Sauté, step, arabesque, and pose, repeating the steps over and over until my bones ached and my joints were raw. No pain, no gain. It was the only time that happiness surrounded me. The only time I felt free. I was just about to go on pique when I felt the front door slam, rattling the whole house, breaking my concentration and making me miss the next step. My toe slipped on the hardwood floor, causing my heel to fall awkwardly. Ouch! I whimpered, catching my balance before I twisted my ankle. I sat on the floor, removed my shoes, and stretched my ankle. I decided to call it a night, and headed straight for the shower, hoping the warm water would loosen my sore muscles from all the rehearsing. I stayed in there until the water ran cold, changed into my nightshirt, and got ready for bed. I still slept in my mom's room, but not because I was scared any longer. It was our time together, just her and I. Usually, it was the most time we spent together all day. I looked forward to it. She would hold me in her arms all night, hugging me close. It was the only time I felt truly loved by her, taken care of and safe. Mama, I whispered as I walked into her room. Mama, are you awake? Tapping on her shoulder. Mama. She startled, turning over to face me, her eyes hazy and confused. Hey, baby. Can I sleep with you? She nodded, her eyes already shedding. She was always so tired, even though all she did was sleep. She scooted over, opening her arms for me. I smiled, crawling toward her, nuzzling my body into the curve of hers. She immediately wrapped her arms around me, pressing my back firmly against her front, as tight as she could, like she always did. She was so cold. Her skin felt like ice, not like the warm, comforting heat I was used to every night. "Mom, why are you so cold?" I asked, shivering, snuggling deeper into the blanket that was laying on top of us. "I don't know, baby. You'll keep me warm." I happily nodded, smiling again, kissing the palm of her hand. "You're such a good girl, Lexi. I don't know what I did to deserve such an amazing daughter. I love you so much," she declared, kissing my head. I felt tears fall onto my neck as she squeezed me harder. "Mama, are you crying?" I tried to turn to look at her, but she wouldn't let me, as if it pained her to have me see her like that. "I wasn't always like this, baby. I remember the day I had you. It was the happiest day of my life, Lexi. You were the most beautiful thing I had ever laid eyes on. I used to spend hours just holding you tight, staring into your bright green eyes, so proud that you were mine. I think that's why you like to snuggle so much with me now." She let out a small chuckle between the tears. "I'm so sorry, baby. I'm so sorry for everything. You deserve a better mommy than I've been to you. I wish I could change things. I wish I could be what you deserve," she cried into my hair. "Shh. It's okay, Mama. You can still change. I know you can. I'm here to help you get better. We can start a routine together, get you out of the house more." "I love you, Lexi. I need you to always remember that. My sweet girl, please remember that. You are such a strong little girl."
"I know, Mama. I love you, too. You'll be better after my recital. I know it will make you smile and proud. You'll want to come to all of them. I just know it. I can't wait for you to see me up on the big stage. I wish it were tomorrow." She cried harder. Sobs wreaked havoc on her body, shaking the entire bed. "Mama, please don't cry. I hate it when you cry. It hurts my heart too much," I said, my voice breaking. Tears began to form in my eyes. It wasn't easy seeing and feeling her break down, unable to do anything for her, unable to stop the pain that always took her away from me. "I'm so sorry, Lexi, for all the pain I've caused you," she sobbed. "Mama, you know I'll forgive you for anything. I promise. For anything," I cried right along with her, unable to control the emotion soaring through me. I would do anything to take her pain away. "I love you so much, baby. Don't ever forget that. Not for one